intimacy or sexuality. For me, it's two different things, but that stirs up a lot. It's a very huge, all-encompassing subject. It's all coming out now. It's all coming out in the open, which is beautiful because there's nothing to be ashamed of in itself. No.
So, do you know what you want to talk about today?
Well, you know, I listened to your podcast or one of the former podcasts, and you were doing this kind of call out like, okay, if there are women who want to talk about intimacy, and I didn't really hear sexuality. It's not, you know, sexuality is, for me, is kind of separate. It's a beautiful subject in itself as well. But for me, it's really about intimacy. And I think that's a beautiful subject to talk about, especially when you don't directly relate it to sexuality. For me, intimacy is all about the soul. And that is the core of my work. And so, yeah, I would love to explore that with you. And, you know, also because that was the first encounter we had, more or less. That was very, you know, that was very soul touching. That was very intimate, you know. So that is, yeah, full circle.
Actually, I mentioned that one in the first talk.
Okay.
Our first encounter. And I explained the how and why, the safety bubble. So, yeah, that's something I will probably never forget.
Beautiful. Yeah. That's the amazing thing of intimacy. It's yeah.
Yeah, and actually I recorded on yesterday or the day before, I don't remember, also a video on intimacy on the work floor.
Okay.
What it leads to.
Mm.
And I gave a lot of examples from my own work experience, how intimacy led to better results, better communication, the company doing better, people growing and making promotion and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because it's all about going from here.
Inside, yeah.
But it's interesting the way you approach this as well. So, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Nienke. I'm from Amsterdam. I've been living there for about 30 years now, a little bit more, I guess. I was always, what I remember, because I really don't recall a lot of my childhood or even in the near past. But what I do remember is that I always was kind of a little bit out, overseeing my life, overseeing things as little as I was. And I also recall that I was always kind of looking at the world as, oh, this could be improved, or this could be, you know, we could do that better, or that was kind of natural to me. But then, you know, being in the school system and also in my family, actually the family I grew up in, everything was kind of weird. And the way I handled that was that I really grew very clever in adapting myself. So I was very high sensitive, or still am, but I picked up on everything people wanted me to be. And so I just did that. And I did a really good job in doing that, actually. So I really became this, you know, kind of adaptive modeling creature, being the one that everyone wanted her to be, kind of. I didn't really notice that. I didn't really know that I was doing that. But it felt, you know, it felt smart to me at that time, because it felt like, okay, that's how we do it here. That's how we, you know, that's kind of the norm or the rules. So let me learn those rules. And so I did that, and yeah, that was actually for me kind of a path leading away from myself, or from my core strengths or gifts, because I simply taught myself to not use them and be as the others. And so it was when I was like 23 years old, I guess, that I really started noticing that there was this huge incompatibility almost. At that age I started to look for a full-time job. I finished my study and I had to do, you know, my adult life really. And at that moment, immediately, I started to panic. I didn't know what to do. I was totally, I felt so not valid of being able to have the responsibility in like the society I was in. And so that was 93. That was the year that I became this, searcher of truth and of myself and myself as truth. And so that was really the opening of myself to questions like, who am I? What's this all about? It was pretty scary, of course, as most people experience that phase of, you know, detaching from all the things you have locked yourself into, which is also a safety net. Detaching from that and then go and find your own, you know, your own truth and your own way of being in life. And it was in 98 or so, 99, that I discovered spirituality. And that opened a lot for me, because when in 93, when I immediately was diagnosed like burnout, or, you know, wasn't able to work, I started to look for help. And I got involved with psychologists, psychiatrists. And, you know, for me, it was not the answer. It felt kind of, what are you doing? But then when I connected to spiritual people like readers and astrologists and, you know, everything started to open up, because there was this whole other reality which they brought into the game, into the story. And that really made sense to me. And then in 2000, I started to work for myself, because I really couldn't make sense of working in a, you know, in a steady job or a full-time job where I didn't understand the rules, kind of. And so I started to work for myself, and I started with, career counseling kind of thing. I did an education for that. And I noticed that for me, it was not about the career, but it was about, I thought, you know, people, you can figure out your careers yourself far more better than I can, because I'm not so good at that. But what I figured out was that they were very well capable of doing that. However, they needed the reconnection with the point to choose from. You know, careers is kind of, you choose your path. And do you want to do this? Do I want to do that? Is it time for a change? But where do you choose from? Do you choose from your head, your mind, you know, your fears? Or do you choose from the more inner knowingness and the inner, you know, the what we call intuition, the inner tuition? And so I noticed that was my thing that I could add to people's path, people's search for other jobs or other steps in their life. Because that was also funny. Most of the time we started off with this trajectory around a career of someone. But most of the time, of course, when we, you know, when we came to this inner beingness of people, most of the time, or a lot of times, it was not so much about the career. It turned out to be more about, you know, their main questions, like, who am I? And why am I so frightened of, you know, certain things. What is this relationship with my mom or dad? Or, you know, why is my relationship, my you know, my love relationship working out the way it's working out? So there were all these other questions that turned up in those trajectories. And that was really fulfilling, you know, to work with this inner energies, inner riches of people. And then the career was, you know, kind of secondary, because people, in the end, people knew very well, you know, how to choose and what steps to take. It was more about the inner realm that they were searching for. So that has been my work from the year 2000 onwards, with ups and downs. And in 2003, I really was pulled into very deep transformation myself, which is still kind of going on a little bit. It's at the end now, but it's still kind of the last, last parts of it that I'm integrating. And and then in 2016, after my divorce, 2017, I really changed my whole business into the more soul approach. So I think it has always been about that. It always has been, you know, without me realizing it so much, because I wasn't really dealing with the soul at that time. I didn't even know what it all was. But in 2016-17, I really felt like, okay, I have to make this stand. You know, Soul Touching was already in my kind of subname of my company, but I thought, no, this is, you know, this is the main thing. This is what I'm doing. And the former name and the former way of approaching it felt kind of old. So I had to throw it out of the window, because it wasn't accurate anymore. And so that's when Soul Touching was born, my current company name. And and with that, I shifted into taking the soul really seriously, I must say. And it was funny, because now I started to work with a Mayan calendar as well, which is so rich as well. It's so beautiful. And 2016 actually was the year where I entered, for the second time, I entered into my spiritual phase again. So it makes total sense, you know, that at that moment, I just closed my email because it makes noise. At that moment, I made that decision. You know, it's all about the soul for me, and that's where I want to work with. And so in a nutshell.
Nice. I recognize, because we know each other since 2010-11. I don't remember exactly which of the 2 years. And I recognize the changes, because we talked then, and I remember when I saw your flyer at Seeds to Meet in Utrecht, and I was like, I need to talk with this person. I had no idea why, but it has been happening in my life like this, like, okay, that person I need to talk with. And then later I would discover why. That's how I met my best friend, for example. Exactly the same, like, you and I, we need to meet. We met in that super crowded cafe next to Amstel station, and it was something like bubble safety. Yes. And then I remember I just opened up. I don't remember what I was saying, what we talked about. I just remember, like, and it was like, whoa, it felt so safe, so good. And it was one of the first times I was really in touch with my soul.
Beautiful.
And then it took another year and a half, 2 years, to 2012, to really break open the barriers and the blockages and the walls. And I mean, then it started. It's funny, because then I turned 40, and I was remembering then, like, wasn't Jesus also 40 when he started to do the real stuff? Or was it Muhammad? I don't remember. One of those guys also at his 40s. I was like, interesting. So now my life is really becoming serious. And yeah, things started to change, but not as I expected, of course. I feel now like it's more now that I'm getting really into my core thing, which is about sexuality, intimacy, connection, the balance of the male and the female within us, but also in our interaction with others. And yeah, it's not something that just happened, but in the past few weeks it really started to speed up, and hence somebody came on my path who wanted to have that first talk with me, and so we had it on Tuesday, and the rest is just history because things start to roll. I wanted to ask you, but you already asked me, and then I'm like, oh, okay, great, yes. And then I asked somebody else, and I was still typing, yeah, just feel and then give me an answer. It was already a yes before I finished typing, like, just take your time. And so things started rolling, and yeah, then Friday already the first talk, and beautiful responses of people, and it really felt also from the response like, yeah, this is now really what I'm supposed to do, at least for this chapter in my life, because I know we have chapters.
Yeah.
And I just closed a chapter of around 40 years. And yeah, this is a new chapter. No idea how long it will take. Probably shorter because everything goes faster. But now I feel like, yeah, I'm on my path. And it's not that the things I did before were useless, but I now more on my part that feels from here, yet all the other experiences I needed to get here and to do the job I'm doing today, like the video I recorded that I told you about intimacy on the work floor. It's only a result of my own experiences being in the corporate world in different kind of companies, having all these experiences, the nice and the shitty ones, and then evolving and remembering these things and bringing them together today. And I have the feeling that also in your career, in your life in general, you have been doing the same. I don't know how much you're aware of this, but everything you have been doing is really being leading you to where you are today. But you needed those experiences to be able to do today what you're doing with all that power and strength and also the connectivity to where people are today. Because if you just walk in with spirituality, most people are like, what is that? But you have had all those other experiences, like the people who had to come to you for, meeting their own soul. But the excuse was, I want to find another job. Yeah. How do you find a job that matches you when you know yourself?
There's more and more, I just see that in everyday's life, that there's such a perfection to everything, including the really, really shitty things. I mean, really bad, but there is such a perfection in all those things linking together. You know, especially like you brought me on this Gene Keys path, and now I'm working kind of with Mayan calendar and Gene Keys and also the soul plan, and it's just different approaches to look at yourself or look at somebody else. And you know, it's all kind of in there, like what you say, all the experiences are so perfectly orchestrated. And that was also a beautiful thing that Kryon, that's this channel I listened to a lot, like a couple of months or years ago. And he said once, you know, we don't have a free will so much, but we have free choice. And that resonated a lot. Like, free will is like you can do just anything. And for me, it's, you know, when you look at all those, the blueprints we come in with, there is a certain bandwidth, I guess, in within which our soul operates. But we do have a free choice every time, and we make choices like continuously during the day, we do have a choice to choose, you know, to be connected with the blueprint and really, you know, choose consciously from that or not. So that is, we constantly have this like choice of, do I follow my soul's path or do I not, you know, do I go on a tangent? So I found it beautiful, like, because I never really understood free will. I thought was, you know, it doesn't feel like that to me, but free choice makes total sense. You know, you have this far broader wisdom, which we all brought with us, the soul that we are. And there is this blueprint, like the soul wants to, you know, came with a kind of plan, a kind of blueprint. And then every step along the way, we either, you know, choose to align with that or we don't. And both choices are perfect. There's no imperfection in either one of them. You know, if you choose to not align, and of course, in a way, we're always aligned. But if you choose to not align, you go like the touristic route and you come back to your alignment, and then the touristic route has been a perfect experience, just what you said. You know, you just explored something there and you adjust that to what you already had. So it's such a great perfection. Everything, all the experiences. For me, for example, in my profiles, it has a lot to do with a late blossomer or bloomer. I don't know how you say it in English. Be very patient. Bloomer? Okay. Be very patient. You know, of course, you see all those friends, peers, you see them, you know, like growing up when we were in our teens and 20s, it was all about, you know, exploring and having fun. And then the first ones started to have babies and families and, you know, and I was always like walking next to them with a completely different life. And then the first divorces started to come, you know, the first, chaos. And, you know, and now we're all in our midlives, midlife phases. And for me, it was always like, when does my life finally start? You know, because everyone was doing his or her thing, like the norm was. So for me, it always has been about patience, patience, patience. You know, your time will come, your time will come. And I didn't understand that at first. And still, I find it hard sometimes to really embrace, because it takes courage, perseverance to just follow that thread without, you know, without really linking to so many friends or acquaintances of mine who all, you know, have their lives sort of in that order, that order that is in society. So
you mentioned that, because I have been looking the past few years to my old friends, my current friends, and there's a big difference. Especially, let's say from 2012 when I had my breakthrough, I started meeting new kind of people. And I looked at my life and I was like, okay. So some people continued on that more or less steady line upwards financially and status and career. And I've done this throughout my career, also financially. And then I got to a point where financially I was really at the lowest point ever, a few times in my life. And I was looking like, okay, when was I the happiest? When I had the most money or when I had the least? And it's not that having the least money makes you happy, but it's when you have the least that you get back to the core. Mm-hmm. You have no other choice. Where when you have a lot of money, you can still buy some kind of experience that you hope will make you happy. And I've seen these people, and I'm looking at them, and they're struggling like hell, and they're not resolving certain issues, so they keep over and over having nasty experiences in certain areas because they don't want to go there, but then it's just catching up with them. And then I'm looking back and like, okay, because of course I was feeling shitty when I was without a job or having a low income, and always comparing with others who had more, or at least it seemed like they had more. But in the end, the red line through my life was, the red thread through my life was wonderful people close to me. Maybe just one or two. But that was what always kept me going. And that was actually the only important thing in my life.
Mm.
The connection from here, even when I didn't know there was a connection from here, it was. And when I look at today, I'm earning much less than I ever earned before, but my life is so much calmer, peaceful, I'm healthier. I lost all those kilos that I just gained due to stress and unhealthy lifestyle. I have wonderful people around me, physically and also on a distance. Thanks to the internet, we can meet wonderful people everywhere. Like you and I, we stay in touch, although there's 2,222 kilometers. I checked it once online. It's a number you cannot forget. 2222. And I realized that these people are what matters in my life.
Mm.
And what I'm learning from them is what I need. And what I started doing recently, consciously, is I'm just working on myself, but I'm doing it out loud so that other people can also benefit from it.
Oh, beautifully said.
And that's something I really realized very strongly yesterday when I read a feedback from somebody and I was replying and while typing, it was like, oh, I was typing it and then I realized what they were saying. Like, this intimate show is for me.
Mm.
I'm not doing it for others. I'm doing it for me. But because my way is to speak and not to write, and I have a webcam and we have technology, I just record it and I share it for those who are open to it.
Yeah.
Primarily, it's my way of processing what I went through, mm-hmm. and doing that with other people, because you can never do these things alone. So you do it with other people who also have the things to process. And then every time it's two people, and these two people both have the balls to do it publicly,
mm.
to do that process publicly. Like, you're sharing here publicly and you're talking English, which is not your native language, and you're not probably not talking it every day. For me now, it's my main language now. But yeah, you have the courage to just do this, and it's like, okay, let's record this and throw it out there, and those who need to pick it up will pick it up.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so cool. This just came up when you were talking about what you were just sharing. And the beautiful thing is that, talking about the Jinkies, I was listening to Jinky 31 today, and Richard was saying, you don't get to write the storyline, but you can write the script. It's just another way of saying what you were saying. Like, yeah. You're going that way, and you can go like this, but in the end, you're going from here to there. No matter what, life will take you there, and you choose how you go, fast or slow, and what experiences you pick up, which tools you want to pick up that you're going to use on the way.
Yes, and having said that, I think, but then we're moving a little bit away from intimacy, but what I would like to add to that is that I think that, you know, having this major shift now in consciousness where we are all at as humanity, I think more and more we will be able, but I don't know in what kind of amount of time, but we will be able to also change our blueprints. You know what I mean? It's like, now what I'm realizing now is that I'm not yet ready to change my whole blueprint. So for me now, the work is still to recognize my blueprint as much as possible, and live accordingly, you know, so that my life feels aligned and abundant and joyful and blissful. However, I think that more and more in the future, don't know, near or far, also with all those new kids coming, you know, being born now, the kids that have really different consciousnesses than we have, we are really free in, you know, coming with a blueprint, but then altering the blueprint. And so really, you know, creating while we're here, recreate a new blueprint, for example. I think that it will be possible within a certain amount of time.
Could you explain for those who don't know what the blueprint is? What you understand by that?
Yeah, and it's all, like, for the listeners, it's all just all what we're saying, at least, let's speak for myself, it's not the truth, you know. I try always to emphasize that. For me, it's like what you said so beautifully, it's like sharing of knowledge, of experience, of wisdom. And for me, it's always about, we all have our pieces of wisdom, puzzling them together. So when you listen to what we say and what we share, it's not necessarily your truth. It's just, you know, you either resonate with it or you don't. And if it triggers you, I think there is something to for you to look for, to find out about it. If it's just neutral and you don't resonate with it, you know, just leave it. But for me, a blueprint is like, I really have this image that you kind of descend as a soul's energy, you know, very, so that's all energetic. You descend kind of until this physical realm, this really dense reality. And you choose, like, before you really descend into the body, you have chosen already things to learn, things to experience, to add to your soul's wisdom. Like, the soul is eternal, the soul is never ending. And it has the natural drive, let's say, to expand, to always want to be expanding. And so that is what the soul always wants to do, either in a physical body or in another realm, like non-physical. Always expanding, always adding as a fragment of the whole, always adding to the whole by gaining consciousness through experience. I think when you come as, when your soul enters into this life, there is this kind of blueprint, that this kind of plan, this kind of, okay, this is the layout of this lifetime, what I want to experience, what I want to add to what I already like contain as a soul. So that is how I see the blueprint. And up until now, I think it was quite steady, quite, you know, fixed is not such a nice word for energy, but let's say steady. And I think, as I said, also that might change within a person's lifetime. We will be able to just, you know, do two or three blueprints in one lifetime.
So the blueprint is more or less the storyline. It's the path that you came to walk. I mean, you have your choices, but in the end, it's like we're heading there. So this is the list of things that we need to have done before we arrive.
Yeah, and the list is a little bit, I don't resonate so much with the list kind of thing, but more like, for example, when you have a stamp, like a stamp is kind of when you do the stamp, you have kind of this mark, which is kind of a map, you could say, and you walk all those lines, and, you know, it's kind of a map, having a map. That's also what, you know, what Richard, for example, says with the gene keys. And for the listeners, like jeankeys.com. I'm totally into that now. It's beautiful. And the Mayan calendar as well. They also speak about a map, you know. It's what a lot of mystics talk about. It's kind of the soul creates this map, this outline for a lifetime, and tries to remember everything during that lifetime. We are here remembering. We're just regaining all the knowledge and all the wisdom by doing, by working ourselves through all this stuff, being a human, which is beautiful. It's a beautiful game, kind of. Yeah. And really, that's for me is where the intimacy comes into play, because the knowledge which you have as a soul in the non-physical, so not being in the body, not having the body, let's say, you know, it's all available, it's instant. Once we are in the body and we are in this physical plane, it's all kind of heavy. And so that is where intimacy comes in, because in the heaviness, where it's kind of, in the heaviness, it's kind of difficult to be intimate for me. The heaviness is like, well, if we take, for example, like a couple, right? We play a little bit with the word intimacy. You know, if you have a couple and it's just like, I like you, I like you, so let's be together and, you know, kiss and make love and, you know, the whole thing. And that's kind of the heavy way for me. It's kind of boom, 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 let's do this, bam. You know, that is, yeah, okay, you come together, but it's not intimate. It's not subtle. It's like the elephant in the China.
Yeah, it is in the Chinese shop.
Yes.
It's the physical part.
Like it can be more the physical part. But also the mental part, it's more like the logic. It's more like, okay, yes, let's do this, you know. Big steps, there's no space in between, almost, because the intimacy for me and the subtleness is all about the spaces in between everything, you know. And for the spaces in between to emerge, we need to pause, we need to really have the patience to feel into ourselves and to get the finer frequencies of ourselves and the other person, of course. But then the dance together is much more subtle. It's much more like, you know, you just dance around each other and you get to know each other a little bit, and it's, you know, it's a bit back and forth, and it's a bit like tasting, and you know, it's much more, yeah, soft and also including all the details, all the really fine details.
So that to me,
sorry?
About discovery.
Okay. It's about discovery, yeah. And that for me is the start to intimacy. So that you discover the whole wide range of someone in a certain moment, instead of just the surface, like bomb bomb, okay, yes, you know. And that is not only for a couple, for a love relationship, it's also like what you mentioned, it's also in business. Like when you're in business and you only deal with, okay, this is the contract, you know, you should do this and I should do that, and you know, if we don't do it, we just fight, or you know, we unbound the contract or whatever, or we take lawyers to sort it out. That's not really intimate, you know. But within work relationships, if we take time to really like dance with each other and ask each other questions and feel what is not said, you know, feel what is in those spaces in between the words, for example, or the gestures or the eye contact. That's where the intimacy starts for me.
It's beautiful because a memory came back to me. In 2009, I was in this company, a recruitment company, and we were helping out this big Indian wind turbine manufacturer to set foot on the ground in Europe. And at a certain moment, they had a problem with some maintenance issues. And because the CEO of my company was just having a drink with one of the high guys of that company, and they were just talking, just like, what's going on, and what are the issues, and what's going well, that the brainstorm happened, and the decision was taken that we would set up the maintenance company, because we had all the legal possibilities to do it very quickly, because we were a European company. We even had, the problem was in Spain, we even had one of the parts of the business was also in Spain, so we could set it up. We had to do the recruitment anyway for them, and they would just send us the money, which we needed to do all the things, and then after a year, when their juridical status was fixed and they would have created a European company, then they would buy it back for €1. This was only possible because two people connected on a human level were just exchanging experiences and sharing. And so a new company arised with a lot of possibilities and new work opportunities for people. And for me, that meant a completely new world where I could fully dive in, which was beautiful. And I met a lot of people. I even met a girlfriend through that. I still have friends from that period. And a lot became possible simply because there was this connection, which was an intimate connection. It was like you were describing. It was not just like mine. We have a contract. You do that for me. I give you money. And if one of us screws up, there is a punishment. And we can even write down already what the punishment will be. No, it was just like, how can we do something together? How can we build something together? And this is one of the examples how intimacy in work, or intimacy in general, can create new life.
Yeah.
And not just the way people think, like, oh, when two people are intimate, yeah, they have sex, or maybe they make love and then there's a child. No, new life can be a creation. And when you look at many small companies, how they create it, it's also because there is this intimate connection between people, and they start sharing their gifts, sharing their desires, and then the pieces come together.
Yeah.
Because one has this, the other has that, and then they need each other, and they can build something.
Yeah, beautiful.
But from the mind only, that's almost never possible to really create something beautiful. For beauty to exist, you need to go in here. And that's why art and the most expensive paintings were created from here. Whether it was from love or from pain, doesn't matter. It came from the heart. That's how Picasso, Dali, and all those guys that we know who are now super famous after they died, they created from here. And when somebody buys art, generally it's because you like it, and then somebody else looks at it like, yeah, ugly. Yeah, but it's about the intimate connection between you and that piece of art. Or the music, it's the same. Real music is created from here, and you can hear the difference between something that's just cooked up in a factory or somebody who wrote from his heart. That's why older music is still popular today, and music from the, especially from the 90s on, they're one-day flights. They come and they go. Because it's just like, how can we make a song that is gonna be a hit, very quickly make $50 million or euros, and then we'll make the next one after. Well, back in the days, people were just writing music and like, oh, let's make a beautiful song. I mean, ABBA is still being listened to today and being remixed and whatever. And I know that the Beatles are also there. Okay, that's not my kind of music, but it's the same thing. Or Elvis. Elvis never thought like, okay, I'm going to write this song, which will be very popular and I'll make a lot of money. No, it was not from the mind. It was from here. And then something came out of it. Whether you like it or not, that's personal taste. But taste is also something from the inside.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would like to add to that. For me, there is also a difference between, you know, an artist or whatever, a person doing his or her work really from the intuition space, like from a higher intelligence, you could call it, or another place instead of the racial mind. You can create beautiful things from there. Beautiful, just what you said. It's like, you know, that touches, most of the time that touches millions of people because there's their soul in it. However, there is, for me, there's also this next step almost, which is including the heart in the whole story. Because it's very, very well possible that you have like very intuitive abilities, you know, gifts of creating something. But on a like social level, like an interhuman level, the heart is closed. And then still your art can talk for you, so that can create like an intimacy in itself. However, for me, I'm always kind of looking for that intimacy, which is also expressed through the heart, that the heart is allowed in the whole exchange, you know, and that then we come to the courage part, because, you know, doing something with your intuitive gifts is one thing, and you can do that as a you know, a person that is totally not into people, like total weirdo, let's say, you know, we all know these type of artists that are totally, you know, not into human contact, but they create wonderful, magnificent things. But once you also include the heart in the story, that means that that you start communicating from the heart, and that the heart really is asked to open. And that, of course, is the moment or the point where we really open up our, you know, our shit, our pain, our heart pain. We open up to all those experiences where we had to close our heart because it was too painful. And so intimacy for me, and that was also what you said in the beginning, like when we met for the first time and we had this bubble conversation, you said it was safe and I could open up. And that to me is where the courage comes in, you know, where the intimacy is really felt and experienced. I was just mentioning that for me there's still a difference. Like you can do things from the inside, from the inner tuition, from your inner wisdom or from your higher wisdom. However, when we connect, when it's not connected through the heart, there can still be this distance, you know. And then you see the genius of someone, the really powerful creations, but you still feel this distance. And when the heart really starts to open, you're gonna feel the pains, the experiences which were traumatizing, perhaps, you know, all the things why we originally closed the heart. So yeah, there is this this distinction for me in really doing something from the heart. Yeah, that is like a next phase, a next step, that the heart is really included.
That needs courage.
Yeah, that needs courage. Yeah.
Because people often keep their heart closed and they don't want to open because they're afraid of the pain. But I can tell from my own experience and the experience of people I've worked with, but also my friends, that once you go to the root source of one of the pain goes away for good. Often people go to psychologists, and then these psychologists, psychiatrists let people relive that pain over and over again till they get numb. But when you actually go to the root source, the pain just disappears, it evaporates.
Yes, and also there is not a like a better or worse trajectory. I think sometimes, yeah, people choose what they choose and what they need, apparently, and yeah, there are many steps, you know, many ways that leads to Rome, let's say. So also there, I think it's all perfect. If a psychiatrist helps in that specific phase, then it's, you know, that it's perfect.
I just want to share it because sometimes people think that it's going to be hell.
Yeah.
And I just want people to know, like, hey, there are different ways you can choose. And I know at least for one way that will end the hell.
Mm.
Because also not dealing with the pain. Like, oh no, I keep my heart closed and then there's no problem. I describe that like people who don't have the normal sewer, but they have like this big pit in the garden. It keeps filling up, and then the sun is burning on it, and they keep it covered. For a certain moment, if you don't clean it, it will say kaboom. And then literally shit will fly around, and you get into a very shitty situation, and your life turns upside down. And this never happens on the right moment. I mean, not the convenient moment. And to prevent that, I always recommend people like start cleaning up. Go inside and go heal the wounds. And find your way of doing it. Find your person that can help you. I can help with that. You can help with that. There are many people who can help. Go and feel with whom do you resonate. Like when you make your choice, like you choose astrology or gene keys or Maya, kind of, just feel what works for you today. Because also tomorrow you may have a different thing that you like. I mean, you started with human design and then I recommended gene keys. You're like, that was not the moment for you. And now you're into the gene keys because now is the right moment for you to work with the gene keys. And in a year or two from now, there will be something else that you'll be focusing on. But the important thing is that not to stay with a closed heart because it will say kaboom. And before that, it blocks us in many things. It doesn't allow us to enjoy things, or we have these trigger points and we get triggered and we react, we overreact on certain things simply because there's a wound, not because the person said something bad or did something bad. So I always encourage, go and deal with it. Find a way to deal with it. Ask for help. And asking for help is not weakness, is being smart and strong and courageous. So raise your hand and say, I need help, because that's the way to go. That's the new cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this shows really beautifully our more masculine approach that you represent, and the more feminine approach that I represent. I guess that's my feeling about this. I'm looking at that a little bit more like the feminine way of approaching it is more like the bowl where everything just is. You have this bowl as a feminine power, and everything is just in it, and it's pure and it's perfect, and I just look at it from my perspective as the mother, you know, into the bowl where I hold everything and everyone, and it's all good, like
for holding me, the space, literally.
Yeah, it's holding the space, exactly, thank you. It's for me, it doesn't matter if people don't open up. They don't open up, and the opening up will come in another way, in another period, and whatever. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, so I don't recommend really to do it. You know, it's just, we're all so wise. We're all those souls. We all have the wisdom, and temporarily, you know, don't remember everything. And more, of course, we are all remembering. So I really see everyone's trajectory, no matter how he or she does it, as really perfect. What I do see with intimacy is that it's more and more being introduced in our lives, that this heart opening will be included in the business world, will be included in families and upbringings, will be included in friendships and relationships. And that, for me, is the most beautiful part of this shift. It's not so much with, however, that's also cool, all the, you know, psychic abilities that enter the world, and more people, you know, are very psychic, and you know, they can bend spoons, and yeah, like there's all crazy stuff is happening, and new technologies and whatever. That's also cool, but the most beautiful part I find is all this work within and from the heart, and that's where the real intimacy starts and is coming into play. And yeah, then the whole conversation or the whole relationship, the whole being together, just, you know, changes and vibrates on a whole different level. That is, for me, that is what soul touching is where the soul is really touched, and that the person, the personality, allows the soul to be in the front seat, and say, okay, you take over, because I'm not that clever and I'm not that heart-centered. So please, soul, take over, and I'd be happy to work with you.
Beautiful. I can totally feel it. Yeah. It resonates on all levels. Thank you. Thank you very much, because I knew we would be talking about soul. I had no idea how this conversation would go. But this is perfect. This is exactly what was needed today. And also the funny thing, how it was very clear, the feminine and the masculine energy a few minutes back. That's also why I decided I will start first talking with women. So we have both the masculine and the feminine, and they can balance each other, and you can see the polarities, you can see the different approaches, because we all have both in us, and one can be more dominant than the other, or they alternate. But having such a moment like we just had, it's nice to just point out the polarities and for everyone to realize that, yeah, I have moments in my life where I'm really like going, other moments where I'm just like, I feel just like just being and allowing things to be. And when I work with people, I shift between both. I realize when you were describing, I'm like, yeah, holding the space. That's why I said the word holding the space, because I know this, because this is one of the things I do. And people have praised me for that, before I realized I was doing it. And that's how I realized, because people are giving me the feedback. Just like I gave you the feedback about the bubble. And yeah, that's the fun of this kind of talks, to have the different perspectives and get to play with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's total magic, this phase where we're in, that more and more we're noticing that this openness is allowed to be here, you know, that we really experience that, that moments of stillness, for example, are allowed more and more. Moments of just not knowing what to say, you know, that you can just sit there and feel goosebumps everywhere and are like, oh my God, I don't know. I simply don't know. Yeah, just being with your energy being instead of the personality and the ego that is so much into fixing and surviving. And I think we need that less and less. It was very necessary, I guess. But I think we need it less and less. The more we find this space that is available to us now, more and more, in which we just open and just feel and just wait for words to come or for a gesture to make or for, you know, contact to really take place in the energy, just sit and what is gonna happen. That is, yeah, that is beautiful. Then everything is like, it's just in all the energies that are speeding up, it's just slowing down and it's coming to a still almost. Like, wow. And that for me is where love is starting to flow. Then it's like, you know, just feeling love, like, yeah. Then we're so capable of loving everybody. We're so capable of loving everybody. Yeah.
When you said about the not knowing, I would like to add something that I discovered a few years back. It's that sometimes we don't know, but we feel everything is okay. And the not knowing is here. But here we have a different kind of knowing. And even science has proven that we have a whole different nervous system that's connected to the heart. And that's not brain-centered, but it's heart-centered. And the first time I really experienced that was when I just made the move from the Netherlands to Romania, which was very spontaneous, very intuitive. My best friend called me and she asks, how do you feel? How are you? And I was like, on the surface, total stress, total panic. But deep down, calm. She was like, oh, okay, then everything is fine. Mm. And I was like, yeah, makes sense. But still there was my mind like, yeah, but this and that, and how about that, and how about that? But deep down, like, stay calm. And yeah, in the end, it was the deep down that became the reality.
Mm, beautiful.
And it became more and more the reality through meditation in different ways, It's not only sitting like you see the Buddhists sitting for 10 hours. No, it can be a short one. It can be laying in a warm bath, which I like to do in winter. It can be walking in the park or sitting in the park or listening to calm music. But it's the parts where this slows down and then this can open. And that helps a lot to find that inner peace and to know when you are on the right path for you or not.
Yeah.
When which choices to make, which are really the best for you. And it's also what simply helps to be more relaxed. Also, when meeting friends or when having this difficult conversation you need to have, let's say you make a huge mistake at work and you need to sit with your boss, go in that peace. Because when you're in that peace, around you, people react to that. And I experienced when I made a huge mistake once and I just focus on the peace, also send that energy already to the office. On my way to the office, I send that energy there. And the meeting we had, there was not one negative word. There was not even like, Lotfi, you made a huge mistake, you fucked up. It was like, no, okay, what is the situation now? How will we resolve it?
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, how can we prevent this from happening again? And everyone was happy at the end. And I was looking like, seriously, this just happened?
Oh.
But it was from that peace.
Yeah.
So I encourage everyone to find your way, to find your peace, to do your meditation in whatever form or shape and duration that works for you, because it really helps. And I used to hate meditating because, yeah, it was boring. But I found my way of meditating, and I started first by a 3-minute meditation, because that I could do. And then the 3 became 10 minutes, and now I can do sometimes an hour or 2 hours. Not always, but sometimes that's what I need. And if you fall asleep during meditation, it's fine too, because that means you really calm down, and in your sleep, you're still processing. So for those watching who are like, how do you do that? Just find your way.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. What you said was something like making the inner world your reality. And that is also what I've always been a very bad meditator. that's so true. It's finding your way with it. Because when you focus on making your inner world your reality, like the soul world, the soul part of you, that in itself is a way of meditating. Or contemplating, how Richard puts it. He says it's a very different thing, and I agree with him. But, you know, the thing I wanted to emphasize is it's not everyone's path to go sit for hours and meditate. It's more, like you said, how do you touch your soul, touch your inner world, your inner beingness, your inner riches, and make it your reality. And if you really feel like sitting for an hour and go inward and stop your thoughts and learn how to meditate, then you do that. If you feel more like doing stuff and then your mind calms down and you really connect to that inner world, then you do that. Or you just do, you know, different things. So like I just said, everyone can connect to this inner beingness, whether you call it your heart, whether that's the entrance also, whether you call it your soul, whether you call it your spirit, or, you know, the energy, whether you call it your intuition. It doesn't really matter. We all, when we talk about this kind of stuff, we all know intuitively or somewhere, even if you feel a lot of resistance, we all know this part of us that is still and loving and, you know, supportive every moment, that's clear, that is always there unconditionally. We all know that. We all can find it. Sometimes it needs a little bit of support from, you know, from someone else to hold space with you. But we're all very, very capable of doing that. And when we make that more our reality, yeah, everything changes so much, so drastically. Yeah. So that for me is really what intimacy is all about. Making your inner world your reality. Thank you. That's a beautiful one. I'm going to steal that one.
You're very welcome. And thank you very much for being so open and sharing both your experiences and your insights.
Thank you.
That's why I enjoy talking with you, or I enjoy also your webinars, which for now are still in Dutch only. So the Dutch people, check the link, register so she can send you a notification when there is one coming. That's actually this Wednesday, right?
This Tuesday evening.
Tuesday at
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock Dutch time. So Paris time, and London is 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
I think this is a perfect point to close. Please check in the description the links to Nienke's website, Facebook page, if you want, LinkedIn, whatever you feel more comfortable to connect, because I know not everyone is watching this on Facebook, because some people have left Facebook. So I'm posting on both Facebook and YouTube with links on LinkedIn, Medium, Twitter. If there are questions, just contact us, send requests, you can also put in the comments. We will be checking those as well. If this talk inspired you to say, hey, I have something I really would like to share, then contact me. So you can also join the show. Also man, you're also welcome. Also transgender, I'm not discriminating. I just started with women at first, but everyone is welcome. I already invited a man to join as well. And hope to see you in the next episode.
Yeah, and just thank you so much, Lotfi, for being so bold. And I've known you for a while now, and wow, you've made such a shift, and it's amazing all the steps you take, and you know, yeah, really inspiring to do that and to just show it and share it, and yeah, great example. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm receiving something I'm still learning to receive.
I know, it's difficult for me as well. Yeah.
I always say, people, you need to learn to receive. Yeah, that's me talking to myself.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very difficult.
Like, subscribe, and share. Like, subscribe, and share.